I want to also acknowledge that one of my co-authors, Michelle Clark, is here, which I'm very grateful that you're here as well. I wish the third author, Joe Doris, is in Michigan. I wish he was here as well. None of us have anything to declare. The any data that you see, any mistakes, any accuracies, any interpretations are not representative of the Department of Defense, but are representative of the opinions of the co-authors. The objectives are that we're examining the prevalence of cancer over time from 2007 to 2013, look at the costs separate from pharmacy costs, and then put the pharmacy costs in, but also look at two different kinds of pharmacy costs. One are the drug classes associated with cancer care, and the others are total pharmacy costs. And then to examine cost over time for the most prevalent cancer sites. This is the tip of the iceberg I'm giving you. We have a lot more analysis and a lot more in-depth analysis that we will be working on. The ultimate aim really is to follow the reimbursement as it relates to the Medicare Modernization Act, if you're familiar with that 2003 Act, the MMA. So I'm going to very briefly skip over introduction to the military health care system. Many folks don't realize that the DOD, Department of Defense, health care system is separate, totally separate from the VA system. There may be occasionally a sharing of patients back and forth, but for the most part, it's its own department, own agency. So the other thing that many folks don't understand or have never been exposed to is that the reimbursement rates for the Department of Defense follow Medicare. So if Medicare gives you a dollar for aspirin, DOD gives you a dollar for aspirin. It's almost one-on-one. There might be a few little tweaks here and there based on particular conditions, particularly of active duty personnel, but for the most part, they're pretty similar. The Department of Defense has 9.5 beneficiaries that they're responsible for their health care. And the health care system is divided into what's, we'll see for a moment, I'll go back, is divided into purchase care, and that means using a network of pre-identified providers, and there's three different regions in the country where these networks are, and direct care. Any of you ever hear of Walter Reed Medical Center? Okay, that's an example. You live not too far away. That's an example of what we call a military treatment facility. There are 41 military treatment facilities. Of 15 of them are overseas. Whenever we have a base overseas, we're required to have a military treatment facility there. And plus, there's a whole host of ambulatory centers. 30% of these military treatment facilities are accredited by the American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer. So I've listed them below. This gives you a bit of an idea where they are. We also have, there's only three branches of the five branches that run military treatment facilities, the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. The Marines go under Navy. The Coast Guard uses anybody's. They're not technically part of DOD, but they're part of our beneficiary pool. And this just gives you a very quick look. They're in order of the military treatment facilities with the greatest number of individuals diagnosed, primary diagnosed with cancer. Again, this is prevalence of unique beneficiaries. using 2012 data. And what this really tells you more about is where our retirees live. So our three major retiring areas are four, are San Antonio, Washington, D.C., Washington State, the Tacoma area, and it doesn't have it here, but we also have a very large population of retirees in San Diego. So we pulled out data from what's called the Military Health System data records, essentially using claims data. If you've ever used Medicare data, this is looks just like that. This is claims data. We looked at it from 2007 to 2013, just the MHS beneficiaries. They had to be residing in the United States. They had to have a primary diagnosis of a cancer. We included here even skin cancer. So the rates will be higher than you'll see with, for example, National Cancer Institute or the American Cancer Society statistics, because most of there is removed skin cancer. But skin cancer is a big cost for DOD. And we did trend analysis. I'm not going to present you all the analysis, however, but this is what our rates look like for the prevalence of cancer counts. These are just the primary diagnosis. These are not unique beneficiaries, but just the counts. Some individuals will have more than one diagnosis. So what we see here is that there is a steady increase from 2007 up to 2011, almost to a million separate primary cancer diagnoses, and then a bit of a drop-off. And I can explain to you why that is, but it has to do with a little bit of our changing demographics. You probably heard that the DODs have some budget crunching going on, and also, we don't really call it rifting, but a decrease in the force size. And whenever you have a decrease in the force size, that means that your average age goes down of beneficiaries. So while we only had, while the active duty force was decreasing, whenever you see hard economic times in the United States, and TRICARE, that's the name of, I'll call it insurance, it means a beneficiary, is available, you see individuals holding on to that TRICARE beneficiary, not using other health insurance. One, they don't have to pay it out of pocket. Two, it's a very good coverage. And so what you're going to see is an increase. We had a 5% increase between like 2010 and 2013 in terms of those who have been retired, as well as those older than 65. So we have a slightly older population at the same time as a forced drawdown in terms of the healthcare beneficiaries. So when we look at the number of beneficiaries, I calculated this by each year. I looked at the number of beneficiaries who touched our system. You're always going to have particularly healthy Marines who don't ever see a doctor because they see themselves as very healthy and not needing care. Okay, so you're only going to, for my denominator, those are only individuals who touched the system. And this includes everybody, zero to death. And what I found, I was very happy about this, is that the prevalence rates of the different cancer diagnoses stay perfectly steady over time, no significant difference. So here for the presentation, I only looked at four different ones, breast, prostate, lung, and colorectal. Those rates stayed the same. I will say one little exception perhaps. Colorectal cancer seems to be coming down a bit. It's probably related to the very aggressive colorectal screening that DOD does. Our main findings about the prevalence is that, again, it's probably the demographics of the population, and that the number of cases, as I just said, remains steady. Now, when we look at the costs over time, you can see that the rates or the cost to DOD for cancer care has increased steadily from 2007 to 2013. And if the top line, the green, is cost without pharmacy, and the blue line is the cancer pharmacy costs. These are chemotherapies or hormonal treatments related to cancers. And you can see that those have increased quite a bit, particularly from 2010. So our main findings, whoops, I think I went in the wrong direction. Here we are. The overall costs, that is without pharmacy, increased 36% in the 7 years of observation. But we did notice almost a 1% decrease between 2011 and 2012. Between the same period of time, chemotherapy, cancer-related drugs tripled over those 7 years. And if you compare the cost of cancer to the Department of Defense with all other conditions, this is the fourth ranked. And it really surprised us in a way because our number one product line is obstetrics, maternity care. So this is more expensive. It's caught the attention of a couple superiors high up. When we look at by cancer site and look at the costs, the pink is in is breast cancer. You can see that there was a decrease in 2012, a 13% decrease between 2011 and 2012. The other cancers stayed relatively the same, but I want to point you to that they're either steady or they're coming down just a little bit. When I looked at the age group, when I look at age groups by cancer sites, what we see is that we have, most of our individuals are aged, and the same with prostate cancer. Most are 65 plus, and the same with colorectal. Again, most are 65 plus, but their costs are in general increasing over time as well, 15% over 7 years. When we look at lung cancer, and this is really tobacco-related, the U.S. Military has, per population, probably the highest smoking rate of any subpopulation in the United States. We're over about 26%. And this is pretty steady, but you can see that there's an increase in the cost associated with lung cancer over time. If we look at the difference between purchased care and direct care again is the military treatment facilities purchases using the network. Do you see the line and the arrow in the circle? What this says is that in purchased care, the rates for inpatient care, the cost to DOD is going up. And you wonder why. What's going on here? And when you look at prostate cancer, you see that the rates of inpatient care are starting to come down. Okay, I'll explain what I think is going on in a minute. When you look at colorectal care, this really tells a story here, because what you see is a converging, that is, if you were to follow those slopes out, you're going to see a converging eventually between the cost of outpatient care going down and inpatient care going up. If there's any oncologists in the room, I'm sure you've already come to the conclusion. And the same with lung cancer. You see relatively steady for lung cancer, but you see the costs of outpatient care coming down. So I won't go over the prevalence again, but what I think is going on with the costs and the changes in the patterns of cost over time is a direct reflection on the Medicare Modernization Act. For example, in 2010, the reimbursement rate for hormonal treatment of prostate cancer decreased 65%. And there was much more scrutiny about who's getting these hormonal treatments, who needs them. And I don't know if the amount we paid for those went down because those individuals didn't need them anymore, or whether or not the rate went down, physicians were still prescribing, and now the cost gets absorbed by out-of-pocket costs. I mean, either that or it's not being prescribed. So we really don't know. The increase that we see over time for DOD is mostly pharmacy costs, is mostly pharmacy. On average, I didn't bring any of this data with me, but on average per person, the rates have remained relatively stable across 7 years. And that is most likely a reflection of we have a pharmacy department which is, I will say, really, really good. They do cost analysis, and they have been working very hard to contain costs. But it could also mean that what we're seeing in cost savings isn't really cost savings. It just means it's moved over to the patient's pocket. So we need a lot more investigation there. So the study limitations are numerous. I know survey data is imperfect. Claims data, I think, is even worse because, there's going to be coding errors. I found a couple prostate cancer, age between 0 and 8. And but on the main, because we're dealing with a population size here of 9.5 million, yeah, you can do pretty well and forget about those little tiny errors. The other is that we don't, I called down to the pharmacy economic center and I said, okay, tell me about all the changes you've made with cancer. They really couldn't tell me in a nutshell. They said, oh, we're glad you're doing this research. cancer, for the most part, is not a top priority in DOD. It's not that it's not important, but relative to other kinds of conditions, it's just not as prevalent in our population. But it is, I think, because of some of the research we've been doing, is getting a little more attention because it is very costly. So, again, we suspect that a lot of the increased costs that we're seeing, DOD is paying, and that as well that the patient is paying. Our presentation here, I want to say, though, isn't just DOD that is concerned about the cost for cancer care. A new study that just came out this past week, which from the cancer support community, had asked their patients, what are your major concerns that you need help with? And number 4 on their list were financial concerns. DOD beneficiaries are very fortunate. They probably have one of the best coverage for getting reimbursement. Most medications are reimbursed at 100% or minimal copay. So everybody, there's no such thing as somebody without health coverage. So it's different than our U.S. population. So if the cancer patients in the general populations are saying they are having financial concerns, my guess is our patients have less concern about that, but it would still be of interest to figure out how much they're actually paying out of pocket. Any questions?
Thank you.